Hello there, everyone, and welcome to this Golf Shake podcast. We've got an action-packed one for you today. There's absolutely tons to talk to you about, and me and Matt are absolutely frothing at the mouth to get talking about golf, aren't we, Matt?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, have you played over the weekend, Matt?
I had a very unexpected delivery. For people that follow me on social media, you will know all about this. But I actually just took my little one out for a good few hours on Saturday afternoon, and when I come home, there was a big cobra shaped box sitting in the front room. Like a kid at Christmas, I opened it, and inside was my new dark speed driver and fairway wood.
Cool. How good is it to get new golf clubs? It's literally you do actually feel like a kid at Christmas, don't you?
Honestly, it is so good. It's so good. And I've got two driving ranges close to me.
Okay.
One doesn't have floodlights, so you can still go and hit balls, but if you want to do it in the dark, that's fine.
Yeah.
The other one has got floodlights, but on the weekend it doesn't turn the lights on, it just closes at dusk. So I had about 20 minutes between, you know, the clubs are like me finding the box and that particular range closed. So the next range along is like a little hotel resort place, other side of Ipswich, called Ufford Park, which is it's actually got quite a nice driving range now, and it's got an eye range system. But it was a good half an hour of drives. But I did it. I jumped in the car, half an hour, literally had a bucket of 50 balls just hitting the new wooden no driver. And then I got some bonus golf. So we played 15 holes yesterday. We were on temp greens. So there was no putting involved. And I literally only went so I could hit the driver and hit the fairway. And yeah, it's incredible. The two guys I played with were very impressed.
They were good, yeah.
Yeah,
there's always really a climax when you take it to the course the first time and it doesn't transform your game completely. Well, but
I couldn't get the tee in the ground because it was so frozen on the first. So I teed it up like a lot higher than what I would normally like to. So I'm trying to kind of hit up on the ball, but not sky it. Yeah, basically. And I just pushed it massively out to the right. It was drawing around nicely, but the second tee shot I hit with it up the third was it went a long way. I hadn't been that far up for quite a while.
Class. I mean, yeah, it's always good to get new clubs, isn't it? And those of you out there that have or looking at buying some, maybe got some fairly recently, will know exactly what it feels like, Matt. But yeah, I mean, we'll talk about sort of clubs and stuff in a little bit, but we've got loads to talk about. It seems like golf has literally come to life this week with the LPGA Tour, as well as the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour staging events and all sorts of stuff going on. We've had our first amateur winner in absolutely years on the PGA Tour since Phil Mickelson, I think. Absolutely.
1991.
Well, that can't be true because I think Woods won. But yeah, very, very, very good. And current US amateur champion as well in Nick Dunlap. So, I mean, what a performance that was. Let's start there, to be honest, because that, as much as the other tournaments that we're going to talk about were fantastic, this is kind of something a little bit out of the norm, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, it's quite a prestigious event as well, right? So it was funny because I watched quite a bit of it on Saturday night, and Justin Thomas shot the lights out, didn't he? Shot a 60, and he made a comment about he didn't come out today expecting some college kid to shoot the lights out as well. But yeah, no, I mean, look, when you look at the final leaderboard, when you've got players like Xander Schauffele coming up behind Justin Thomas, Christian Bezuidenhout, who shot, you know, I mean, the Bezuidenhout and Schauffele in particular both shot rounds of 700 in the final round. You know, he didn't go super, super low, did he? 2 under, but it was enough to get the job done by one. How are you feeling as an amateur if you win an event where you know the prize money is $1.5 million and you know you're not going to see a...
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of that. I think, he'll obviously wish he had it in his bank, but I think he knows he's good enough that the money's going to come. Do you know what I mean? I think...
Yeah.
For him being able to play in, I think he gets to play in the Players, doesn't he? And I think then he gets to play in the Masters, the Open Championship, and the US Open as the reigning amateur champion. So he would have had to give up all those opportunities, and who knows? Yeah. You never know what's going to happen there. But I would imagine even if he turned pro, he'd be getting in the Masters fairly soon anyway. He's obviously doing things that only Tiger's done. So having won the kind of junior US amateur and then followed it up with the US amateur. There's only Woods that's done that. Like I say, he was the last amateur to win on the PGA Tour as well. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a nice person to emulate, isn't it? You know, you're kind of going in the right direction, that you've got some game if Tiger is the man that you're copying to do that. So
definitely,
I think he's obviously got a very, very bright future. And it's almost like what we saw when Ludvig Åberg sort of jumped onto the scene, really. A guy coming out of college seems like he's kind of winning a hell of a lot on there, and almost a bit of a big fish in a, not that it's a small pot in college golf in America, because the standard is unbelievable, but you know, the step to the PGA Tour is a big one, and he's kind of obviously done that, just smashed the door in really, and walked into professional golf with style. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure Christian Bezuidenhout's fairly happy that it's about the only time in his life he'll wish he's glad he came second, should I say. So so yeah, having that money going in his bank, I think he'll be pretty happy with that. But listen, Nick Dunlap's going to get lots of sponsorship. He's going to get lots of money coming his way in the next few years. And he's obviously got those starts in the majors and the players to look forward to. So
soften the blow, wasn't it? Soften the blow.
Yeah. I mean, just an unbelievable performance. I mean, the fact that it's not done regularly shows you how difficult that is to do. And I mean, that is a golf course that is just built for people to make loads of birdies around as well. So you'd think someone's going to make a charge at him. And you know, Bezuidenhout did that on the Sunday, but it just wasn't quite enough. Like you say, I mean, he just kind of kept his nose ahead and just looked comfortable as well. Never looked really that phased with it. Obviously, he held a nice little putt at the 18th, didn't he, to actually win the title. And it was one that you could have easily missed if you'd have got a little bit nervy. So, yeah, I think it just shows how good he is and the kind of class of golfer that he's probably going to become in the future. Just huge for him. But, I mean, my only negative is that golf course for me is just one that I don't enjoy watching people play. It's just literally just bomb it anywhere you like. There's literally no way you can't hit it, and you just wedge it on the green, and who holds the putt wins.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget, it's a pro-am as well, wasn't it? So I think it's designed to try and get people round and keep the pace of play moving. It's a birdie fest, but I think you know what you sign up for.
Yeah.
As I said last week, I like it. It looks like Stowe Market at the moment. But yeah, because it just looks different. That's what I'd enjoyed about it, but. Yeah, I enjoyed watching that, and enjoyed watching a bit of the DP World Tour as well, actually, because we only played 15 holes yesterday. We had some lunch and watched the rest of the golf.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke last week about the kind of times that golf's on this time of year. It's either really late or really early, with it being over in the Middle East. But again, I mean, Rory, second week in a row, just shows how good he is. I know he didn't quite get the job done last week, but I mean, that sort of Saturday round that he shot kind of just catapulted him up the leaderboard, didn't it? And I don't know whether it was a bit of the kind of almost like the Tiger effect that Cam Young sort of had a little bit. He saw Rory making a charge. He didn't have a great weekend, really, did he? I mean, considering where he's finished, he'll be disappointed that he hasn't kind of put the foot down and kind of, you know, made a better fist of it than that, really. I mean, Rory did play amazing, and particularly the Saturday. I mean, he just looked like he couldn't miss, and Sunday just kind of got himself into a place where he was pretty comfortable and never really had to get much out of third gear, really, to win. Nice. And
well, Maronk was sniffing, wasn't he?
For quite a while,
I think.
I think he obviously birdied 18, didn't he, to put a little bit of pressure on Rory. But I think he was, yeah, Rory was only ever gonna win that, really, from there. You know, he's obviously hit it pretty much over the back of the green, didn't he, in two, and it was never going right, that second shot, was it? It was left all day long, and yeah, chip it on, two putts, see you later. He's kind of in a very good place, and I know we've said that before at this time of year, but something seems a little different this year. I think he just seems massively more confident in himself. He knows how consistent he is. I saw his post round interview on Saturday after he'd shot that amazing score, and whilst you'd expect someone who's just done that to be very buoyant and very kind of bullish about their golf, I think he was quite reflective about it as well, and that he was sort of proud at I think someone asked him the question, kind of what he was most proud of since winning his last major, and it was just how consistent that he'd been, and that he still had a massive love for the game, and that it didn't feel like a job to him. And you know, he's basically just that little Northern Irish kid going out and playing golf every time, and just absolutely loves it. And I think that is, I bet there's a lot of people on tour that wish they could feel like that when they went out and played golf, and it sometimes does feel like a bit of a grind and a bit of a difficult slog for people. But, you know, when you're as talented as Rory McIlroy, you're always going to be there or thereabouts, aren't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he did, he had a little wobble, didn't he? A couple of wobbles on...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's going to make mistakes, isn't he? I mean, you're never going to... And particularly around there where you are hitting driver a lot, and if you do miss, yeah, you get away with it to some extent, but there are some pretty punishing holes around that golf course, and there's some tough driving holes and a few where even they're drivable. But if you, like 17 is a great example, you miss the green on 17 and it's just buried and you're really struggling to get it down. I mean, I know in that final round, he missed it left and then chipped it over the green the other side and made a really nice up and down. But it just shows how tough that place is. Yeah, it does invite that kind of risk reward kind of shot, but obviously the risks are fairly high if you miss. So, yeah, I mean, fair play to him. I mean, that was absolutely brilliant. Like you've alluded to, Maronk played really nicely. Cameron Young, like I say, he'll be disappointed with his weekend, but probably still quite happy because it's the first time I've seen him go over to Dubai and play and compete. I don't think he's done it before, so I think he'll be fairly happy to come away with the result that he's got, even though he'll be disappointed about his weekend. But it just sort of, I don't know, it sets the season up nicely, I think, and there'll always be that noise and that talk about Rory and where's the next major coming from and what is he going to do that career Grand Slam at the Masters, and he wants that noise, do you know what I mean? He wants people to be talking like that because he's obviously playing well to do that and people think he's got in with a chance. And, you know, if you were going to build a golf course for somebody, Augusta National would be built for Rory McIlroy, and he'll be disappointed he hasn't won the Masters already, and I'm pretty sure he thinks he's got a good chance this year.
As long as he keeps playing and keeps playing well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the stats would say that he's going to, do you know what I mean? He's so consistent and obviously so good. And it's not that long ago where he shot that, was it 62 in the final round or something like that, where he held the bunker shot on 18. And it just shows how low he can go around there if he gets it going. So, and the Masters, we have seen it tight at times, but we've also seen tournaments there. You know, I think about Woods winning there and Spieth winning there where someone's just ran off and left everybody. Do you know what I mean? And Rory has got the potential to do that. He could shoot 6 under 4 times and just literally blitz everybody. So whether he will or not remains to be seen. But, let's hope. I think we're just in for a good year of golf, and Rory's obviously playing well early again, although it's the fourth time he's won the Desert Classic, so he obviously does play well at this time of year and does get it going in January. But like I say, something just feels a little bit different about this time.
Well, we will find out in 80 days when the Masters starts.
We also had a tournament on the LPGA as well. So over at Lake Nona, it was the Hilton HGV Tournament of Champions. A lot of players very first out in this season. I know, having listened to some interviews with Charlie Hull this week, it was the first time she'd played. She's had a bit of an up and down kind of time over Christmas with illness. And I think she had COVID and food poisoning and she's been in hospital. So not particularly great. I think she got to the tournament a little bit late as well. So she'll be delighted with a tied seventh finish there. Her and Rose Zhang were tied on in tied seventh, should I say. Gemma Dryberg, so another European interest there, were tied ninth, just behind. But at the top of the leaderboard there, we saw an amazing performance from Lydia Ko, who just seems to be kind of evergreen, really, in the fact that she just keeps playing well all the time. Brooke Henderson was up there. Alexa Pano, who some of you will have seen win on the LET last year. So she came over, and some of you may even know her from the Netflix series where they basically followed a lot of young aspiring golfers around in the US. It was probably about 10 years ago. So it was called The Short Game. And she was one of the kids that was featured on there. And she's obviously showing her potential now on the LPGA Tour as well as the LET. Did you get to watch much of this, Matt? Or?
I didn't see too much. I think it's just... With the other golf that I was watching, yeah, I didn't see too much of the NTR. I think I watched some of the highlights on Sunday evening. But yeah, Lydia Ko is Lydia Ko. Like, you know what you're going to get with her. She's super impressive, isn't she?
Absolutely. Yeah, her game is amazing. Like I said, it was good to see Brooke Henderson up there as well and Alexa Pano. I know Brooke, having watched some of the TaylorMade stuff that's been coming out over the last few weeks, I know she's changed quite a few clubs in her bag recently, and I'm not sure whether Lydia Ko has. I'm not really seeing much about that, but it's always good to put that to the test early and see whether that's making a difference to how you're performing. And, you know, Brooke's obviously a very, very good player. But yeah, Lydia Ko, I think she seems like she should be about 35, but she's in her mid-20s still. But yeah, she's not going anywhere for a long, long time, and she's a hell of a player. But yeah, I mean, professional golf is busy. It's throwing up some great results, and we look forward to, obviously, the tournaments coming up on the DP World. We've obviously got the Ras Al Khaimah event, have we, next, where our man Daniel Gavin's won last year in fairly dramatic fashion up the 18th there by hitting it in the water a few times and making an absolute monster of a putt to win. So that'll be an exciting one. The PGA Tour again, we've got this week and another decent tournament. I don't know if the LPGA are playing this week. I've not actually seen their schedule, but I know that the PGA Tour are. And again, we're going to see some of the top players out there again. Xander Schauffele, like you kind of alluded to.
Farmers this week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Farmers Insurance. Yep. So it's always
actually
a good
one. It's a good run of events, isn't it? So you've got the you've got that one last week, and you've got the Farmers this week at that's at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
and then you've got the AT&T, I think, the week after at Pebble
Beach Pro Am, yeah,
which is the worst tournament to watch ever.
Yeah, but it's at Pebble Beach, so you get away with it. But yeah, I mean, it's a stunning.
It's the Bill Murray, bashing.
Yeah,
that commence.
You love that, don't you? But fair play. But no, I mean, you'll see Gareth Bale probably there again as well. So he loves a bit.
My two favourite people.
What's wrong with Gareth Bale?
Where he played for Spurs for years, and I'm an Arsenal fan.
You there wish you had him at Arsenal.
Right now I do. Good field, though. Good field again.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to watch. You know, it's just an amazing place, Pebble Beach, and really good to watch people play it. So, yeah, and then I think when's the Tiger due to play? Is it at Riviera? Is it
probably
a few weeks further on? I don't know if you saw it as well this week, by the way. This logo that him and Tiger made of kind of,
but he's obviously cut ties with Nike. Well, he's ended the relationship with Nike. That broke social media, didn't it, last week?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of the, from speaking to a few people who would know more than most, it just seems like it's one of those that it was a natural kind of come to an end of their relationship. And I think that the money to keep Tiger Woods, they're thinking they could maybe spend in other areas and maybe get a few very, very high-ranking players to wear Nike apparel and footwear. So I think that was a bit of a thought behind it. And I'm sure they wish Tiger would have stayed with them, but I think that the amount of money that it would have cost them just didn't really weigh up. I don't know. But
everything comes to an end, doesn't it?
I mean, from what I hear, Tiger owns the TW branding anyway. So for me, why they're even muting having this, is it Sunday Red or something?
Sunday
like
Red,
that?
Yeah.
It just looks awful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, we're probably not going to see Tiger wearing Nike clothing, but we might see him wearing something that doesn't have any branding on, or something that's just got TW on, or something that's got Sunday Red
on. I'm sure
on.
He'll still be wearing red on Sunday, one way or another.
Yeah, I'm sure he will, yeah. And I don't think anyone will ever think of Woods without thinking of Nike, to be honest. So, it's one of those things. But yeah, I look forward to seeing him coming out and playing, because he's obviously had a lot more time to practice. And you know, whilst I think he quite enjoyed playing in the father son PNC thing, it's completely different when you're playing in a PGA Tour event and you're playing four rounds and having to walk all the way around and all that kind of stuff that really puts his body to the test. But some of the social media stuff I've seen where he's been hitting shots off his knees and having a bit of fun, certainly seems like he's moving a little bit more freely than we've seen him maybe in the past year or so. So, yeah, who knows what we're going to see. So that's professional golf. done with for, well, for another week anyway, and we look forward to the tournaments that are coming up. But let's have a bit of a chat about, well, a few things. What we've both been up to this week. So since the last podcast, so last time I spoke to you, I was down at TaylorMade HQ, which was really good. It was great to have a tour around the factory there. So down in Basingstoke, so we got to have a look through the factory. I've been there before, and I had no idea that they had a club building factory in the back. Because it looks like, I don't know, when you're there, it just doesn't look like the amount of staff that are in the factory there would be there. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was just offices and the sort of brand headquarters where you went to be shown some of the product. But no, we got shown everything about QI10, as you'd expect, something about the new golf ball line that they've got, a few other little bits about stuff to come. We also had some chats with some of the key marketing people there as well, got taught how to fit the product a little bit better. So from some of the fitters and some of the designers who'd sort of said, you know, try this and that, to, because what their whole ethos was about the whole 10K driver was trying to get as many people into it as possible because of the benefits you've got on the off-center hits and certain ways that you could set it to make it spin a little bit lower if you've got that player who maybe spins the ball a little bit, or maybe, you know, that kind of player that would normally go into the standard or the low spin version, and maybe how to get them to have a go with the QI10 Max 10K, because it was one of those models that they thought would benefit a much broader range of golfers than just your game improver, really. And certainly looking at the data that they had and how the off-center hits are improved by that 10,000 MOI, then, it just seems like a model that maybe a lot of you out there should try. And certainly when I did the review, it was one I enjoyed hitting it. I didn't think it was for me quite, but now I've seen how you can set it and how you can fit it and how you can change some of those settings on the TaylorMade cog, I might have another hit with it and see if I can get the numbers anywhere near the LS. But for me, the LS head just works really, really well. I know Rory switched into the standard head for now. Whether he'll go back to the LS or not, I don't know. I saw Nick Dunlap was using the LS head when he won as well. So Fleetwood's been using that too. Woods has. So it seems to be there's going to be quite a nice spread across professional golf, because Morikawa's already got the 10K head in there. So you're going to see players using all three models of driver, which I'd say for TaylorMade is probably an unheard of kind of thing, because generally it's going to be the tour or the low spin version. There might be a few in the standard, but certainly not in the game improver one. And you know, we're seeing that Colin Morikawa's put that in the bag already. And yeah, the performance benefits are great. But yeah, as well as that at TaylorMade, so we went through the factory, we saw how all the clubs were made, we saw the kind of quality control process that goes on, we saw all the different hands that the clubs go through. So when you place an order at TaylorMade, from it going through their automated system, how many people in the factory deal with it and how they pick all the components and put them together, etc. And it really, really is impressive. And just how many people are checking these products before they leave the factory is extremely impressive too. And certainly, I would say it's probably the most stringent that I've seen in any of the factories that I've been to. But that being said, you know, I've been to Ping, I've been to Titleist, I've not been to Callaway, but I've been to a few others and sort of seen clubs being built, and they're generally all very, very good. Cobra's another one I've been to. And watching those people there make golf clubs is very, very good. But I just thought TaylorMade almost check and check again with everything that's about to leave, and it's very, very good. Then we got to go.
To be honest, I see the QI10 head in the flesh on Sunday.
Okay.
At the pro shop at my club in Stowmarket, he's got his demo kit in, and much prefer that design. I think the colour is a lot better than the red on the Stealth.
Yeah, I do.
I just think it's not so much like in your face.
I just like sat down. I just think it looks a bit more classic and a bit more old school, the way it sits behind the ball. And certainly massively prefer it to the last two drivers that they've had out in the Stealth and Stealth 2. But we got to go in the tour department as well, which was cool. So there was some of Tiger's clubs in there, Rory's clubs in there, some of the backup stuff that they make for the guys on tour, loads of putters. So yeah, it was pretty cool to chat with some of the tour staff there as well about, you know, asking them like who are the most difficult people to deal with and who are the easiest people to deal with and all that kind of stuff, which they were fairly candid about answering. So yeah, it was quite good. We got to go on the tour truck as well, which was there just to be fitted out with all the new QI10 graphics because it still had all the Stealth 2 stuff in there. So we got a bit of a tour around and had a bit of a look in some of the places that maybe a lot of people wouldn't see. Kind of the drawers they had specifically for Tiger and Rory and DJ and, you know, loads of different players, really. Tommy was another one. So they had like gloves, balls, hats in there for them. So yeah, it was good. And yeah, just really got to see the inner workings of one of the biggest golf companies in the world. And it certainly was very, very impressive and walked away from there very impressed. And can't wait to try some more of the product. We've got some reviews coming of the new golf ball. So the TP5 and TP5X that we haven't done yet on the YouTube channel. So those will be coming up very soon. But as well as that, I've just been busy doing more club reviews, really. So I've been hitting a load more stuff today, ready for filming the sort of main part of the reviews tomorrow. So we've got Tom coming down, who does all of our videos tomorrow to the golf club. But yeah, so on the list tomorrow, we've got the new Callaway golf ball range. So we've got Chrome Soft, Chrome Tour, Chrome Tour X. We've also got two new Callaway irons in Paradigm, AI Smoke HL and the new AI Smoke. And then we've also got the fairway woods for Cobra. So we hit all those today and got all the data. So yeah.
I'd be interested, given the conversation we had last week about the ball speed on the low spin, I'd be interested what you see the difference on the low spin fairway. Because I've gone in the X fairway, I've not gone the low spin. And the ball speed that I'm seeing on average is about 5 or 6 miles an hour quicker than compared to my Aerojet.
Okay.
Which I hit really well.
Okay.
So I was quite impressed with that.
I would say the performance was slightly better than Aero. I had the Aerojet all last year.
Yeah.
I think it went a little bit further, but I would say the Aerojet to me looks a little bit nicer. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, I, the X and the LS were both good. LS went a little bit further, just like it did with the driver. But in terms of dispersion, the LS and the X were pretty similar. The Max was very good as well. Even for a model that's aimed at that kind of game improver level, it was still extremely long and quite forgiving. I was just getting a lot more kind of right to left sort of shots with it as well. That being said, I think that I'd have benefited from a slightly stiffer shaft than what I had because although I got on really well with that link white shaft in the driver, in the fairway wood, it just felt a bit soft and it felt like it was just going to turn over on me all the time. So I think I could do with something a little bit stiffer in that, but it still performed really well and the ball speed was great off both. I mean, I was getting ball speeds like, you know, what I would get on some drivers really with the fairway wood. So it was impressive.
It's funny you say that because I've got a different shaft in my three wood compared to the driver.
Yeah, was it hazardous black that you went with in that? Yeah, which is a little bit stiffer and a little bit pokier, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah, potentially I think something like that would work a little bit better in that fairway wood for me. It should maybe stop some of those left ones really that I was hitting. Yeah. But all of them felt great. They all look quite similar as well, which I quite like. We've got tons coming with regard to reviews, as you'd expect. We've just got so much stuff. And then we've obviously got our trip to Portugal, which is coming very, very quickly, isn't it? We've got a couple of weeks. Is it about 3 weeks before we go there? Looking forward to that. So we're going to be taking a load more of these products with us. So some of the golf balls, the wedges, the putters, stuff that we haven't had chance to sort of review on the channel yet. So I've got three Cobra putters, which you'll be pretty happy about, which I'll be bringing with me.
I've seen them, the new...
about them yet, so don't say
I can't talk about them yet.
Yeah, they're new and they're Cobra, but they're coming pretty soon. We've obviously got golf balls from everybody, so I've got literally loads of golf balls that I've been sent to do testing of. So the TaylorMade ones, which we'll be taking with us, the Callaway ones. We've also had some new Titleist models, so we've had the new AVX, we've had the new Tour Speed and True Feel. So
give them to me, I'll see if they sink or float if you want.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can try them, absolutely, no problem. So there's just things coming thick and fast really at the moment in terms of the club reviews that we're doing. Obviously you've been talking about new clubs that you've got in your bag. I'm kind of still testing a few bits as to, I don't really know what I'm going to put in the bag to start the season with yet. It's kind of being like a kid in a sweet shop, really, having all this stuff sent and having getting a chance to hit it. So, yeah, no idea. I dare say I won't be taking any of my own clubs when we go to Portugal. It'll all be sets of stuff that we're going to do testing with. But I don't mind that. There's some pretty good kit that we've got to do some testing with, particularly the new Wilson irons. So there's three different models that three of us are going to play with over there. So of varying different designs. So we've got some of those to do a bit of review of. So it'll be interesting to do a bit of an on-course thing there. So I think I'll probably end up using the blade. You use the CB and Darren probably get to use an iron that I can't talk about because the embargo is still not lifted yet. But yeah, it's good to get.
It's tricky. It's dangerous, isn't it, this time of year? Cause
I think I've done well there not to say anything. Yeah, but yeah,
obviously, I don't know if some people realize that.
No, absolutely not. I'm not sure.
You get told about this stuff so far in advance.
Yeah.
And then there's different embargoes for different things, and you can talk about different stuff at different times, and some stuff gets leaked. You know, like it's no big secret that the dark speed stuff had been leaked on the internet about 3 or 4 weeks before the embargo was lifted. So it's almost like we can't talk about it, but everybody else,
happens most years, and you start to see it on tour a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Where players are using stuff before it's even come out, and the companies are trying to keep hush hush, but you just see it all the time, don't you?
There's that Instagram account, SMS on tour, where he basically just shares
they seem to, embargoes don't really
exist to them.
They do whatever they want, and which is quite annoying really when we're having to sign pieces of paper to say that we're not going to say anything, and then they just stick it on the internet literally the next day, which really does annoy me, to be honest. But anyway, that's a completely different issue, and I know Darren shares that with me as well. So it's a bit of a difficult one, but for me that's what I've got going on this week. And it's another busy one really here at the club. Lots of fittings going on, lots of coaching that we're trying to do as well, and lots of people working on their game, getting ready for the season. So what does the rest of the week hold in store for you, mate?
I was just about to say, actually, I had my first lesson of the year last Wednesday.
Okay.
I can't remember which day, but it was bloody cold, up with Sam at Felixstowe. And next week I might have a bit of news for you and everyone else that listens, watches, about a potential second club membership.
Oh, nice. Cool. Very good.
Yeah.
You've just ruined it.
What's that? Yeah, I've ruined it now. I'm hoping to get that sorted this week, actually.
Very good.
It'd be nice. Nice to have a links course up the road that I can go and play. Yeah, definitely. And I play up there enough anyway, so I gathered I might as well. The rest of this week for me, I don't know. I'm busy at the moment, to be honest. No, I will try and hit some balls. Going to go to the gym in a bit. Going to try and hit some balls tomorrow at some point.
Legs, bums and tums tonight, is it?
Legs, bums and tums, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, got a space at the back ready to go. So that's it, really. Just keep working hard. Whatever you're doing, just keep working hard. Go in some balls, stay warm, and just, for the... What I would say is the days are getting... I mean, it's dark now, but like R4 now, the light's still out. It's coming.
It's getting there, isn't it? I can't wait for summer to get here. But again, another busy week. We'll have loads to talk about again next week. Loads of tournaments again on the horizon. So hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast this week. We've loved chatting to you, and we'll see you all next time.